Before we begin, I'd like to emphasize that this podcast is an extension of my surgical work and research at Visionary Eye Doctors, and thank you all for tuning in every week or multiple times to kind of hear about our research and how we help patients. And thank you to all of you who have flown in from all over the world to see us here, so I'm very humbled by that. So it is my hope and desire to keep this information free to all of you, especially to my dear patients. And in keeping with this mission, we are very thankful to our first sponsor for this podcast, Wizard Dry Eye Mask. Many of you have heard me talk about the Wizard before. I have loved this product for years. It looks like this. I have one right next to my bed. So does my husband. I used mine last night. And even, you know, if I can't sleep, I'll use it. It's a wonderful product that you just plug in next to your bed or even at your computer. I've been known, if I start to develop a sty, to do the Wizard as I type and then switch, you know, if I have warm, just like a warm compress. So it works wonderful for that. So thank you to the Wizard. If you mention our name, podcast, Visionary Eye Doctors, Dr. Kramer's, they'll give you a 1-year guarantee. If anything happens to the product, just call them up and they'll replace it for you for free. So thank you to the Wizard Research team for sponsoring this podcast. Enjoy. Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Sandy Laura Kramer's. Thank you again for joining us for the Eye Show podcast. Today, we have the pleasure of asking Dr. Oliver to join us from the University of Puerto Rico Department of Ophthalmology, where he is the chairman. Tell us more about yourself, Dr. Oliver.
Well, I'm an ocular immunology and uveitis specialist and also a retina specialist.
And you're here to talk to us today about?
We'll talk about ACTR, which is an ACTH, mixture of ACTH analogs that you use to treat patients with recalcitrant eye inflammation.
So as you all know, you've heard me talk about this kind of mountain of inflammation or monster of inflammation in everybody's body. That's how we kind of die. That's how our cells die. And especially when we're talking about any disease of the eye, whether it's ocular surface disease, like ocular rosacea, dry eye disease, red eye, swollen eyelids, discomfort, inflammation like uveitis, retinitis, blepharitis, conjunctivitis, all of that is inflammation. And the basis is what?
Well, the basis is that the body is developing in many cases, right? 10% of these cases are infectious, but then the other 90%, the body's attacking itself. It's called an autoimmune disease, and that's what we need to treat in order for people not to lose vision from these conditions.
And people do go blind from inflammation.
Yes.
And even dry eye disease. And so we do take it very seriously.
Yes.
And so I talk about all the different ways you can kind of crush this mountain or monster of inflammation, mm-hmm. whether it's diet and all the natural things I've talked about in previous mm-hmm. podcasts. Of course, we love steroids, but steroids have big risks. What are the biggest risks of oral steroids, let's say?
Oh, many. It's a countless list, but most common ones are high blood pressure, exacerbation of diabetes, vascular necrosis of bone, osteoporosis, osteopenia, and the list goes on and on and on.
And even death.
Yes, of
and
course.
That's no joke. And that's true in the sense of even mm-hmm. less so with drops of steroids, but of course glaucoma, cataract.
Of course.
And so when you're treating
the
patient,
serious.
And yep, all
yes.
kinds of inflammation, even in, it can cause, of course, even inflammation or a different layer of
retinal
inflammation.
Detachments.
That's true. So if you have a patient, let's say with uveitis, we talked about this a little bit before we started, mm-hmm. you will treat with, let's say, drops of steroid. Sometimes you'll give oral steroids. Sometimes you'll give immunosuppressants.
Well, for uveitis, there are different types. It's a general word. You know, as you know, there's anterior uveitis where most, not all the time, but many times patients can get away with just topical eye drops. And when they don't, without immunosuppressive medication. There's intermediate uveitis, which means there's inflammation in the cells in the vitreous body that's inside the eye. And those patients, we can either treat regionally or we can either immunosuppress. That's a different type of patient. And then for posterior uveitis, which is uveitis affecting the retina and the choroid, when that uveitis is autoimmune, we already know, or we have known for 20 years, that most of these patients do better when we start on immunosuppressive medications early since the onset of the diagnosis. There are dramatic mm-hmm. effects in the prognosis of the patients, we know that do way much better when immunosuppressors are used.
And you had said it's easier to prevent the actual inflammation than to treat the inflammation.
Well,
so catching the snowball or from the avalanche.
The mean is when you have active inflammation, you have millions of cells attacking the eye or whatever structure is inflamed, and it takes more medication to make an eye quiet, to decrease that inflammation to zero, then to keep it quiet. When we treat eye disease, the first thing we want to do is to make the eye quiet. We want to remove all the inflammation from the eye, and then we want to keep it without inflammation for at least 2 years before we even try to discontinue medications to see if the patient has gone in what we call a remission. But many times, patients will not go into a remission because these are chronic diseases. It's like when you develop hypertension, you're most likely going to have hypertension for life. When you develop diabetes, you're most likely going to have diabetes for life. So we have to enter a mindset in which we realize that many times when we develop chronic uveitis or chronic uveitis entity, we're going to have a disease that's going to be with us the rest of our lives. And what we have to do is figure out what's first, we have to give a lot of medications to make it quiet, but then we have to figure out what's the lowest dose of medication possible that would keep that disease control for the rest of the patient's life.
So it's true that even with ocular surface disease, we will give anti-inflammatories like lifitegrast or cyclosporine to try to prevent that avalanche. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But some of these inflammatory conditions like type 2 diabetes is curable, but you know you can kind of try to really crush down that inflammation to prevent it from getting worse. What's
that? Well, this is a molecule called ACTH that's done in the brain. And that molecule within it has another molecule that's called the melanocorticotropin molecule. And that molecule we know that's within the ACTH molecule has effects on the immune system. And ACTAR is a special type of ACTH that has been formulated to maximize that effect of melanocorticotropin on the immune system.
Mm-hmm. And some of the things we were talking about, you were surprised on how it works on the adrenal gland. That's something you had wanted people to know from the very beginning, because I think when we think of AFCAR, we, of course, are nervous of its effects and side effects, mm-hmm. because it is very similar to prednisone, but it has a better safety profile because it's, why is it a little bit safer?
Well, it's been designed to maximize the effect on the melanocorticotropin receptors that are not within the adrenal gland, so that you can have these effects on different organs of the body that will not alter, for example, diabetes or high blood pressure, and will alter the immune response. And then the effect on the adrenal gland is minimized. It's about 12.5%. That's the effect on the adrenal gland versus the effect on the immune system. Mm-hmm. And that makes it a more physiologic medication. If we had regular ACTH, the one that the body will naturally produce, we'll probably get a higher spike in cortisol, which is the stress hormone that the body produces. But ACTAR has been formulated in such a way that we can have the advantage of ACTH working on the melanocorticotropin system with the added bonus that it will not increase cortisol as much, so we get less of those side effects such as diabetes, hypertension, being uncontrolled, and so forth.
Good. And when we say AFCAR, it's really kind of like Ozempic in the sense that it's just an injection.
Exactly.
twice a week. It's not very uncomfortable, and a lot of insurances will cover it, mm-hmm. and if it's not covered by insurance, patients often get it for free.
Yeah, they get it for free.
Which is really not nice. So you were telling me some cases about some of these really crazy cases that you had treated. Tell me about one of the worst cases that you found AFCAR really actually helped.
Well, for instance, I had a patient that had chronic West Nile virus associated multifocal choroiditis and optic neuropathy. And
it's a really bad inflammation
and chronic inflammation. And when that patient arrived to the ER, my resident had given the patient 60 milligrams of prednisone, and the patient's intraocular pressure was 55, which is
So even though the patient took a pill by mouth, the steroid made the eye pressure go up, which is a big side effect and a very common side effect.
And I was concerned because this is a very young patient. She's in the late 20s. And if you want to continue to use prednisone, she would have probably required a valve. And then that will lead to a cataract surgery. And that may lead to even a corneal transplant. So the prognosis is not that good if someone has such a high pressure and you want to keep on using steroids. So I switched the patient to ACTHAR. And lo and behold, the patient's IOP was the intraocular pressure became very controlled. So as you can see, it's a different side effect profile than prednisone. With prednisone, this patient had a very bad side effect of high IOP. And then with ACTAR, which is a different mechanism of action, still in the steroidogenic range, that patient's IOP became controllable. Mm-hmm.
And you've had many patients like this.
Oh my goodness.
That have tried CellCept and methotrexate, which are serious drugs. And for as a general ophthalmologist and ocular surface specialist and cataract surgeon, those medications are concerning because they really have big side effects.
Oh, yes. For instance, I once had a patient with mucous membrane pemphigoid, and I started
Which is
him,
a blinding disease.
Yes, it's
and a killer.
If you don't treat it, it can kill you because it can involve the esophagus and it can involve the lungs, and you can die from that. But if you don't treat it, skin will grow over your eyes, and you, even though the rest of the eye will be fine, you'll just be blind forever. So I started this patient on prednisone and cyclophosphamide, which is a very strong agent. Almost 90% of people do well on cyclophosphamide, but he developed a bad side effect from cyclophosphamide.
Which was
hemorrhagic cystitis. He was bleeding from the urinary bladder.
Peeing blood. This patient was
peeing
blood.
Yes, and so we had to stop that right away because that can lead to bladder cancer. And the patient was getting swollen. His legs were swollen. He was in his 70s, so he was not handling that prednisone well. But we knew if we decrease the prednisone, the eye disease will go worse. So we start him on rituximab, which is a biologic medication, and we give him four cycles of rituximab. And he did not do well. He did not respond. So we started him on CellCept, intravenous immunoglobulin, and he was still active. And I thought this patient was going to die, honestly, because his legs were swollen. And cardiovascularly, he did not look good. We started him on Acthar, which we know that, at least in vitro, decreases IgG production and B-cell population, which is the culprit of mucous membrane pemphigoid. Lo and behold, in a month, we could take the patient completely off of prednisone. Why? Because we are still stimulating the adrenal glands, so, and prednisone is suppressing it, so we shouldn't be concerned that much that suppression that the prednisone causes will harm us, because now we're stimulating the adrenal gland. So patients are able to come off prednisone quite fast. He was able to stop the intravenous immunoglobulin, and his eye became squatted, and he was healthy, and he looked like a healthy 70-year-old that's not going to die within the next few months because of a heart attack or congestive heart failure.
Yeah, so it's true. I mean,
so
I can pretty much
say that patient is not blind and is alive because of Acthar.
Mm-hmm. What are the worst side effects you've seen with Acthar?
Probably uncontrolled diabetes, hypertension. That's in the range of that.
So if a patient is diabetic, would you not give Acthar, or would you be more careful?
It depends how bad the diabetes is and how eager the patient is to get the diabetes under control. Nowadays, we have so many excellent diabetes medications that it's just about the patient's willingness to go to an endocrinologist and be able to try all these medications to get the diabetes controlled. Mm-hmm. For me, that's easy because my wife is an endocrinologist, so I have a network of endocrinologists I can send my patients to if they get uncontrolled diabetes. But some patients may not have that access to someone who's an expert in treating endocrinology, in treating diabetes. Mm-hmm. And in those patients, I would be more concerned, and I would probably have them see the endocrinologist first, make sure they, if there's time, make sure their diabetes is under control before I start either Acthar or any other steroid-adrenic medication.
Great. Anything else you want to tell me before we end?
That's it. Well, for eye disease, see an expert. That's the main. If you have a chronic eye disease, make sure you go visit someone who knows what they're doing, because that will lead to a better prognosis. And all these diseases are treatable, and there's no reason that anyone should be blind in the 21st century of eye inflammation. There are many good medications out there. Just go to a doctor who knows how to use them and make sure that you do well.
Great. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for joining me.
Pleasure.
And thank you for tuning in. So please subscribe and pass us on to friends and family. Have a great day.